The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you so much, choir. Many times in the scripture, God's word talks about times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. There come times in our life where we get bogged down, we get weary, we get a little bit overwhelmed, and we need those times of refreshing. For the next several weeks, we're going to look at some of the experiences in the Word of God where we are prompted and motivated into a time of refreshing. The Bible says that we're all sinners. Every one of us. Done things, said things, thought things that were not pleasing to God, and none of us have done everything we should do. The Bible also says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, not first physically, because all of us would be dead, we're all sinners. The wages of sin is death spiritually between us and God. When you are dead spiritually, a dead man can't hear, a dead man can't speak, a dead man can't understand, a dead man can't comprehend. So when you are spiritually dead, the relationship between you and God is dead. And the only thing that brings that relationship to life again is when we are born again. We are not born again physically, we are born again spiritually because we are spiritually dead. You're born spiritually alive, sin brings spiritual death, and you must be born again. When you are born again, it is because you recognize that God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross in your place, in my place. I have done nothing to deserve it, to earn it. I can't buy it. I'm not smart enough to get it. It's a gift. It is a gift that God gave when He gave His only Son to die on the cross in my place, in your place, in the place of everyone who ever has been born or will be born in this world. So when I am born again, my spiritual life begins. But not only is there to be a spiritual rebirth, there is to be a spiritual growth. The reason we talk about a relationship and not religion is because religion, you hit the ceiling. You can only obey so many rules and so many laws, and you can only do so many things in ritual and routine and religion. But in a relationship, the relationship can continue to grow. And God put us on this planet to do two things, to love Him and love each other. That's relationship. So in order to continue the relationship, I have to grow. The Bible talks about us growing into maturity, growing spiritually. Jesus gives us a great story about a farmer sowing seed and the soil on which the seed falls. In that story, the farmer represented God. The seed represents the Word of God, and the soil represents the attitude of our hearts. And He gives three different kinds of soil that the seed can fall on. When we think about the soil, we have to personalize this today and ask ourselves, what kind of soil represents my attitude toward God? What kind of soil represents my heart, my responsiveness to God? So Jesus does this in the story. He does this a couple of other times. He tells us about the farmer, and then He tells us what it means. And He gives us three things about spiritual growth, because the beginning of spiritual or of refreshing is spiritual growth. You won't have any times of refreshing if you don't grow spiritually. So let's just dissect God's word and see what these three principles are to grow spiritually? Number one, I must want to grow. In other words, I need to be ready to grow. I need to be spiritually receptive. I need to be excited about growing. I need to be eager to grow. The primary reason people don't grow is obvious. People don't grow because they don't want to grow. They are unresponsive. You are here today. I think that shows a willingness in your heart to grow. Literally, within 20 minutes of our campus, there are hundreds of thousands of people who do not have the attitude of your heart. They don't want to grow. They didn't get up this morning and go anywhere in order to grow. The attitude of their heart is, I don't care about growing in God. And so the attitude of their heart shows that they don't have any kind of spiritual receptiveness. What did Jesus say? Well, in the first kind of soil, in Luke chapter 8, verse 5, he says, a farmer went out to plant some seed, and he scattered the seed across the field. Some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds came, and they ate it. When a farmer in the day of Jesus would sow his seed, he would put a seed bag on his shoulder, and he would reach in, and he would just cast the seed. He would cast the seed, and some of it would fall on the footpath. Now, you know about the footpath. Jesus explains it in verse 12. The hard path where some seed fell represents the hard hearts of those who hear the word of God, but the devil comes and steals the word away and prevents people from believing and being saved. So the footpath the farmer walks. Two things about the footpath. Number one, it is very hard. Number two, it is very narrow. The farmer walked on the same footpath in order not to use up any more soil than he needed to. So it was narrow. He walked over it again and again and again because he needed to get where he's going. It became hard. It's the same in your house. You buy a new house, you get carpet. And if you walk on the same path in the carpet from place to place, you will, over the years, have a footpath. Everybody that comes into your house will know how you get from the bedroom to the bathroom, and they'll know how you get from the living room to the kitchen because they can look at the footpath, right? It becomes hard, and it's usually very narrow. The footpath from my bedroom to the refrigerator is very narrow. I just don't take much time to get there. So when we think about that, Jesus is talking about our hearts. He says a lot of people are like this. They have the hardening of an attitude. All right, their attitude is such that they're closed-minded and very narrow-minded. And people can be this way, never give God a chance. What is it that causes us to be closed to God? What causes us to be defensive when someone even talks about God? Well, I give you three suggestions. Number one, we can be afraid of God. We can be afraid of God. If we're afraid of God, we don't want to get close to Him. We don't want to grow spiritually. We don't want to develop the relationship because we're afraid that if we get close to God, what if He makes me do something I don't want to do? If I get close to God, what if He takes all the fun out of my life? If I get close to God, what if He makes me be a missionary? And we have all these what ifs because we don't understand God. The Bible says that God wants absolutely what is the best for you. He doesn't want to harm you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He has a future for you that is bright and beautiful. But if we're afraid of what He's going to do, then we're not receptive. We close our minds toward God and we shut down because we're afraid of God. The second reason, we're mad at God. Some people can get mad at God because they hurt. I have met people who lost someone and they are hurt by it. Perhaps a child, maybe a parent, maybe a husband, maybe a wife, a close friend. And they are hurt and the question is, why could God let this happen? How could God let this happen? And so they get hurt and they don't want anything to do with God. Their hearts are closed. Other people abused. If you have been abused emotionally or verbally or physically or even sexually, you're hurt. Why didn't God stop that? Why did God allow that to go on? And again, it's because we don't understand God. We live in a broken world. We live in a place where none of us are perfect, and we're not going to be on this planet. And because of that, we are hurt, and we blame God. God could have stopped it. We forget that we live in a broken world with broken people, and it affects us. Sometimes we get mad at God because of other Christians. You know, we let each other down. None of us are perfect. And you know, if we live with the concept that all of our love for God is dependent upon other believers, it's going to cost us. And I have seen churches, and I'm sure, you know, none of us live in a perfect planet. None of us are perfect people. So all of us have done things that hurt other people, other Christians, and we get mad at God when that happens. Well, that's one of your kids. That's one of your people. They did this. I would encourage you, never let another person get between you and God. But it's a legitimate concern. It's legitimate. And then there's a third block. It's really pride. I don't need God. I'll make my own way. I can handle it. I'll figure out my own problems. I just don't need God. So if I am afraid of God, or I'm angry at God, or I believe I don't need God, it's hard to be receptive. Now, Jesus says, of this seed that falls on the hardened path, what happens to it? A bird comes, takes the seed away, which means the seed is useless for what the farmer intended it to be. I already know somebody's going to say, yeah, but it fed the bird. Okay, well, I've got an answer for that. Let me show you. What God is saying is, if I speak to your heart and your heart is hardened and you're not listening to me, it means you have a wasted life. And the bird that takes the seed in the story becomes the devil who takes away the word in our lives. So you can talk about it being good for the bird. I'm not going to talk about it being good for the devil. It's a wasted life. He goes on. He speaks about the second one. I must decide to grow. I have to decide that this is what I'm going to do. I want to say this. I want you to listen to me carefully. Spiritual growth, spiritual maturity is a choice. You have to choose to do it. You are as close to God as you want to be, and you can't blame anybody else. In my Bible study class, we're studying Jeremiah. If you want to join us, 7:45 on Sunday mornings. I told him a story, because Jeremiah chapters 2 to 6 is where God's people are disobedient. I'm one of God's people. I've been disobedient. Have you been there? Yes, you have. I'll answer it for you. We've all been there. And so God is going to judge the people in Jeremiah. And as he judges the people in Jeremiah, he tells them, he says, I want you to return home. I want you to come back to me. A man was riding with his wife in a pickup truck on a farm road, and she looked over. They'd been married many, many years. She looked over and she said, you know, years ago when we first fell in love and got married, I would be sitting right beside you in the pickup truck, and you'd have your arm around me, and we were so in love. And here she is sitting on one side by the door, and he's on the other. And she said, what happened? And he said, well, I ain't moved. Folks, God doesn't move. He is consistent in his love. I am unworthy of his love. And yet he doesn't move. I have to choose. I have to want to. I have to decide to grow. Here's what it says. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. This seed began to grow, but soon it withered and died for lack of moisture. Israel, much of the nation of Israel, is covered with a thin layer of topsoil, and underneath it is solid bedrock limestone. So when the Bible talks about Israel and rocky soil, it's not talking about just having a few rocks on the soil. It's talking about a land that has a little bit of topsoil on top of limestone, very hard stone. And so when the farmer would go out and he would sow his seed, some of the seed would fall on ground that only had a certain depth. And because the depth was shallow, it could not sink down any roots. And in the land of Israel, which is not unlike the land of Nevada, there is a hot desert wind and there are very, very dry desert days. And if a plant cannot seek down roots, when the hot wind comes and the lack of water is there, it will wither and die and blow away. Listen to what Jesus says, because he says some of us are like this. Some people are like the seeds on rocky soil. They welcomed the word with joy whenever they heard it, but they don't develop any roots. They believe for a while, but when their faith is tested, they abandon it. So what does shallow soil represent? It represents a superficial commitment. In other words, it's just a sort of. Notice it says in that, these people welcome the word with joy. Have you ever gone to church and got really excited because it seemed like God was just speaking right to you, that it really touched you? And you react and you have maybe this emotional reaction and you're moved and maybe you have a tear that comes to your eye. Or maybe you're excited intellectually because you found an answer to something in the Word of God that you really, really wanted. Maybe you were challenged and you thought, I got to get to this. But you walk out the door and forget it. It's because we're easier thrilled than transformed. It's true in my life. It's true in your life. It's easier to be thrilled than it is to be transformed. And so the Bible teaches in this passage that we have to make this commitment, because sometimes our good intentions don't last but a couple of minutes, and it keeps us from growing. It has to be more than a feeling. It has to be an action. And if I don't decide to do it, nothing is going to happen. Jesus said in Matthew 7, anyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. It will not last unless you do something about it. Invest some time. It's one of the reasons that we give you the outlines each week, to fill the outlines and use it during the week and review what you've heard so it becomes a part of your life. James 1. Don't only hear the message, put it into practice, otherwise you're merely deluding yourself. Until you have done it, you have not grown. Until you have done it, you have not made any spiritual progress. It takes exercise. 1 Timothy 4 says, take the time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. People get up and run 5, 6, 20 miles a day. Bike 50, 75, 150 miles a day. Go to the gym to stay to stay physically fit. But what about spiritual fitness? The Bible says it takes time. Well, what are the exercises? Let me show you four things. Developing spiritual habits. That means developing a time of reading your Bible and meditating on the Bible. Setting a regular time of prayer. Talking with God. Does that guarantee that you're going to be perfect? No. But it guarantees you're taking one of the steps in keeping the communication open between you and God so you can grow closer to Him. God says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Come close to me and I'll get close to you. I have to make a commitment to do it though. The second thing is connect with other believers. I wish that I could tell you that any spiritual growth I have is just simply because I'm so spiritual. But that is absolutely untrue. The spiritual growth that I have comes because I hang out with some spiritually minded people who grow and challenge me to grow. and we grow in community. Remember when we talked about being bricks in the building, sheep in the flock, a part of the body, a member of the family? Are you? You know, today, right out in the lobby, we have Bradley, who's working in our small group areas, and they have a table out there if you want information about small groups. Sunday night is going to be a little bit different. We have two adult small groups on Sunday night, but we're developing home groups. And if you want information on the community Bible studies, I mean, they have this thing out there that has an interest form, and they would love to chat with you about being a part, because one of the factors that help you grow, in fact, one of the second factor that helps you grow the most is the encouragement of other people. And then using your abilities, whatever gift and talent God has given you, use them. Because if you don't, then you're not putting to practice what God put you on the planet to do. And share your faith. Most of you are here this morning in this room because somebody told you about God. Who will be here in the days to come because you've told them? Everything we do at Shadow Hills revolves around these foundations. It's the structure of our church. We teach on it. We do it in our small groups. Our small groups are built around using your talents. We have small groups that go to the rescue mission, small groups that go to the care facilities, small groups that help with serving our kids. We're centered on these things. Why? Because one of these days you're going to stand before God. First question he's going to ask you is, why should I let you into heaven? I pray that you know the answer. I accepted Jesus into my life. I didn't try to get into heaven on my own goodness. I didn't try to buy my way into heaven. I'm not smart enough to figure out how to get in on my own. Jesus died for me. I accepted it into my heart. He paid the price. That's the answer. But I don't think God's going to be done with us. I think he's going to say, well, let's talk about the rest of your life then. Did you ever get connected with a church family, with other believers? He did not put you here to be the Lone Ranger. He put you here to live in relationships with other believers. Did you get connected with his family? You know, the Bible says the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. You don't ignore a man's bride. Then I think he'll say, did you develop any spiritual habits? You know, how was your Bible study life? How was your prayer life? How was your sharing, with other people, challenging them in the Word of God? I think he will say, did you use your talents for yourself or for other people? I think he'll say, did you share me with anybody? And I don't want you to have to say, well, I meant to, but I died too soon. That's a wrong answer. The third soil that he talks about tells us that we have to make growth a priority. Your spiritual growth, and some would probably argue this, but from what I can see in the Word of God, your spiritual growth is the number one most important thing in your life. Getting closer to God is the number one important thing, more than your marriage, more than your job, more than making money. He put you here to know him, to grow spiritually, and you don't arrive. I've been a Christian for 50 plus years, and I have learned, it's too true in my own life, that if I am not constantly growing closer to him, I'm not stagnant, I'm not staying in place. You can't stay in place in that. You go backwards. In a relationship, if you don't continue to work in the relationship, you don't just hit a peak and then it stay there and have any joy anyway. You begin to have distance. So Jesus says this: some seed fell among the thorny weeds, but the weeds grew up and choked the good plants. And then he explains it. The thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, so they never grow into maturity. The two keys there, he says, choked and crowded out. These seeds represent busyness, a crowded life. Is there anything in your life that crowds out God? Anything in your life that crowds out your spiritual vitality? He says, we get weeds in our lives. Just think about a weed for a moment. What is a weed? You know, it's something that's in the garden or something in your lawn that you don't want there. It gets in the way of a nice garden or a beautiful lawn. A weed spiritually is anything that crowds out God. It can even be a good thing, but anything that crowds out God is a weed. It could be your hobby, it could be television, it can be anything that crowds out God and keeps you from growing spiritually. Jesus points out three different things that can be weeds. Cares of life. He says the problems and pressures, the worries of life, those can be weeds. That word there in the original means to be pulled in different directions. And we have all these cares. And then he says money. You can be so busy making money and watching your investments that you don't have time for spiritual growth to be a success. He talks about pleasure. Be too busy having fun, you forget God. Many different kinds of weeds. So what does it take to grow a weed? Let me ask you, do you plant weeds in your lawn? No. You plant weeds in your garden? No. They just get there. When you ask, what does it take to plant a weed? Zero. It doesn't take anything. Weeds are always a sign of one thing, neglect. That something is there that we don't take the time to deal with. And if I neglect my relationship with God, weeds grow up. They are a sign that I'm spending my time on things that get in the way of God. Weeds in my life are a sign that I have slacked off. So what do you do with weeds? Weeds. Some of you thought I said weed, and you're thinking, smoke it. No. What do you do with weeds? Rip them out. Eliminate them. I have a huge container. It's not even a bottle. It's a container of Roundup that I use on weeds because, and I know the environment and all of that, but it kills the weeds. And you just become ruthless with the weeds. You get them out. So we ask ourselves, what do I need to weed out in my life? You know, I look at my schedule, and what do I need to stop doing so that I can have more time to get to know God? Now, you look at these barriers. Which one fits you? Closed mind? Are you closed because you're afraid of God or because you're mad at God? You've been hurt. Why are you afraid? God loves you. The second thing, a superficial commitment. I love going to church. I just don't intend to do anything about it. I don't intend to change. Overcrowded life. What's the answer? The answer is this. God, I'm receptive. I want to be open. I want to grow. Two, I make a decision. I'm going to grow. I'm going to develop spiritual habits. I'm going to go out and talk to them about a community group. I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep these commitments. And I will be ruthless with the weeds in my life. Let me warn you about something. The moment you walk out of here, the devil is going to try to get you to forget what we've talked about. It's true of me, it's true of you. We want to grow. But if he can get us to spill our cup on the way out on the steps and not do anything about it, then he's won. It's going to happen. Whether you give in to it or not, it's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to be open to you. I want to grow spiritually. I don't want to be stuck where I am. So today, for me and for others here, we tell you, we want to make this resolve to grow. And we want to make these commitments to connect with others, to build spiritual habits, to use our talents, to share what you do in our life. And I thank you, Lord, that Shadow Hills is a church that can help us know how to do that. Let us put away the distractions that we all have that choke out our spiritual vitality. We just invite you to make your home in our heart right now in Jesus' name. And would you keep your head bowed for a moment?